And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Very good morning to you. Welcome to the second hour of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Today is an open forum, so we're giving you an opportunity to ask whatever question you have about marriage and relationships. It's a great time to get those answered. 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644. But before we go to the phones, we're going to go to our second favorite book, Facebook, and see what people are asking and saying there. So, Marcos, what does Facebook have to say?
Okay, well, we posted the question, should you fulfill your marital duties even when you don't feel like it? Mm-hmm. And, of course, we have a lot of comments. We won't have time to read all of them, but Dara Pryor says, of course, it's your duty. Then Wright Joy says, yes, because it pleases the Lord. Also, when you fulfill your marital duties, it shows a symbolic Christ loving the church even when we're not faithful. Michelle Kingdom Royalty says, yes, that's when you can consider that time a sacrifice unless both agree to wait. Deborah Belton Brown says, yes, yes, and yes. Hawaii Bound says, yes, because the word says it so. 1 Corinthians 7:3. Baron Keel says, you would never believe it. I was the one who didn't feel like it. Often, I would tell the wife, oh, come on, Peg. We just did it yesterday. Smiley face there, okay? Then Naima Grubbs Date says, no, I think you and your spouse should share how you feel and come up with a way to spend time together. Benamir Goiko says, yes, see, laugh out loud. All right, what else? We have Emma Biggs also says, yes, this is when love is real love. We don't always feel like doing it, but when we fulfill our duties, we do it for the love we have for that person, not our feelings. And so Cheryl Paul says, things that make you go, All right, and then Sarah Brevard says, yes, and Tanya Thorpe, and we'll read this last one, says, yes, you should. There are benefits for you, yes, unless there's some risk or behavior that's giving you reason to pause. Also, if you're sick, meaning under the doctor's care with restrictions, then you should pass without blame, but with love and compassion. Otherwise, yes, as often as you can make for a lasting relationship. And we thank so many of you in here who have posted your comments. And we invite you again to go to Facebook.com, look for Marriage Beyond the Vows, and press the like button and get in on the conversation. We'd love to hear from you, especially throughout the week.
Absolutely. The number to call so we can hear from you right now, 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644. Let's go to Thomas, patiently waiting on line 5. Thomas, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, I was just calling just to thank the pastor about what he said to the couple calls before that.
Okay, sure. My name is Marcos Mercado. Thank you so much, Thomas.
Yes, yes. I thank you because when a woman goes to a pastor, because I mean, pastors not designed to fix everything. I'm glad you allowed that. You know, let that out.
Okay, you're referring to the one that the pastor like spoke directly like. As if he was, you know,
yeah,
from
to get
God.
Out of college, and leave the marriage alone.
Yes, yes, I got you.
And I was like, wow, that's a bad thing to do, man. You know, and when a woman, and when a man hit on a woman.
Thomas, can you pause for one second? Is your radio up? We need you to turn it off completely, please.
Okay.
All right, that's better, because we just hear ourselves, and it's just tough. So you were saying about the pastor?
Yes, yes. When a man hit on a woman, there's a lot of this going on, right? The woman goes to the pastor. You know, wait a minute. What background do he know of you?
Mm-hmm.
He don't even know your background. So why would you tell him about the man? You know, he don't know that man. He never had a conversation. He never saw the man. So it's kind of like twisty a little bit. Instead of just going to the Word, the pastor's just send you right to the Word. Go to the Word of God. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Very simple. Speak with the Holy Spirit. There's your answers right there. Answers right in this really holy book right here. It's all the answers of all marriages right here.
You're right, Thomas. And one thing that I always tell myself, because I am, you know, in the ministry myself and I counsel a lot of people. And so Proverbs 18:17 says, the first to present his case seems right till another comes forward and questions him. Meaning that if you only have one side of the story, even when people call in, we only have one side. Unless both are on the phone, both husband and wife, then I can't really say for certain that this is what's happening.
Exactly.
Now, I can give advice based on what they're telling me, but that's just one view. And you're right. If she's going or anybody is going to their pastor and telling you, you know, how horrible. And I've seen this before, Tom, where sometimes people say my spouse is horrible. He's a jerk or vice versa. And then when you meet them, you realize, you know what? Yes, they've made their mistakes, but they're not the only one at fault.
And let me say one more thing, Pastor Marcos. It takes a long time to really know somebody. There's people I know for 20 years been married. They're learning new things about each other.
Okay.
My grandparents, 63 years, man.
Okay.
She said 20 years ago she started hearing new things about them. I mean, 20 years ago. That's 43 years prior to this date right here.
I got you.
And she's learning things. I mean, it takes a lot of time, man.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this, Thomas. Are you married?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, you just wanted to get in on the conversation,
I just want to make sure that seed is right out there.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We
That's
appreciate your call.
That's a good one right there.
All
okay.
Right. Well, God
bless.
Bless
you.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Take care.
All right. So we are looking forward to your phone call, 215-263-1039-877. 995-7644. So we invite you to give us a call.
Okay. Well, I think we have Carl on line 4.
All right. Hi, Carl. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, good morning. My name is Carl. How are you doing today? Praise God.
All right. Praise God. Welcome.
Absolutely. Welcome. And we're talking about anything you want to ask this morning.
Well, this morning, I really want to just talk about, in a sense, that being married not too long, my wife and I both are born-again Christians, and we both are believers. And we both been on our knees, believing God for our marriage and for our children. And recently I had some setbacks health-wise, and my wife had some setbacks health-wise. And we just felt like we just came under attack. But the devil used the things that we didn't even expect that he would do, and that was our children. And they're grown. And it just is tearing our family apart. And I just really wanted prayer for that because, you know, my man, you know, my inner man is saying I'm doing the right thing, and my wife believes she's doing the right thing, and together, like, they're not following, I guess, God's word, because we're not apart. We're coming apart as opposed to being one.
You know,
and I guess my further comment is that sometimes, I guess, I wanted the children to see us as a unified front, and my wife, you know, I guess emotions take over, and, you know, we're just at, like, a crossroads as to where we should go with this marriage, and it's just been, like, really, really uphill.
And you know what? What you're going through is not unique. First of all, Matthew 7 talks about the storm, and like you say, you did not expect. You know, Satan does not play by the rules.
Absolutely.
So we think, all right, we prepare ourselves for this, and he comes at us at our weakest point. And in this case, you're saying he's used your adult children. But my encouragement to you is a scripture that helps me a ton. It really helps during those difficult times is James chapter 1 about trials and tribulations and the way that we should face those trials and tribulations. And so one thing I want to encourage you is even though bad decisions have been made or things have not been perfect, I mean, I take it you and your wife are still married, right? Are you still together?
Yes, yeah, still love each other.
And amen. And you still love each other. And you know what? You could keep growing from this. And maybe it's just a process. You say you haven't been married too long. It might be hard for your wife to balance, you know, her children. Now you're in her life and trying to do this. So I wouldn't just quickly make judgment on that, but really have that patience that perhaps is what God is teaching you at this moment.
Amen.
All right. Well, we thank you so much. We appreciate your call, Carl.
All right. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's, I believe we're going to go to line 3. All right, let's go to line 3. Good morning, caller. You're live on the air.
Hi.
Is this Cassandra in line 3?
It is.
All right, welcome to our program. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows, and you've called in at the right moment where we're talking about anything you want to ask.
I just had a question about how you are supposed to. How do you think the Bible relates to fighting for something that's not marriage yet, but just a relationship? As far as if somebody was to break up, to fight for something. I know it's not marriage, but just fighting for a period relationship.
All right. Well, first of all, I would have to ask you a few questions, Cassandra, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this is a situation you're going through, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And there's someone that you're hoping that you can marry, but you're having a hard time, and you're wondering, should you fight for this relationship right now?
Yes.
All right. Are you doing it God's way? Have you and your fiance or boyfriend, whatever, have you been pure in your relationship?
No.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Why would you think that God wants you to be together with this man? What is it about him? What is it about your relationship that you think God would want to bless?
I can only speak for myself and how I feel. This is the only man I've ever really connected with.
Okay. All right. Well, but Cassandra, connection is not enough to marry someone.
Right.
I mean, let me tell you this. You date enough men, you live long enough, you will find someone else that you connect with. Just like love is not enough. Some people say, I'm in love, and that's it. There are a lot more variables that you have to consider. You know, and to me, the first one is it from God? Is God making this clear? Because the relationship period you're talking about is the time when you pray to God to make it clear and to count the cost, because the decision you'll be making will be forever. There's no way out. Right now, you have a way out. If this is not working out, for whatever reason, you're just not compatible, he's not faithful, you're having doubts, whatever, this is the time where you don't owe him anything. But you also should not be indulging in sexual relationships with him, because that's what it becomes, disobedience to God, and God knows it complicates things. And perhaps you're having a hard time letting go because you feel connected, because you joined yourself with him sexually already. The Bible says you've become one. So emotionally, you're trying to break up something and it feels wrong because you've joined yourself in a way that you should not have. So the question would be, if you had never slept with him, would you still be having these feelings about, I don't know if I can live without him or not?
Right. This is a question. I mean, I know that I would, but I guess hypothetically I would never know unless it was realistic, unless it actually happened that way.
Well, the question also to ask yourself is, why? Because right now your emotions are in the way. And something I've learned about emotions, you know, our emotions are great slaves for us, but they're terrible masters. And so what that means is our emotions can help us. Like right now, the emotions are good, but if you're being mastered by your emotions, you're in trouble. And right now, because you've slept with this man, whatever the reason of the breakup is, it's clouded your judgment. My encouragement to you is, number one, take the time. Don't even rush back into it. Pray. And if this is the man for you, God will make that clear. Ask God for those signs. But don't cloud what God is trying to tell you by sleeping around or even sleeping with this man. Don't do it. And I think you would have a lot clearer feelings and even clarity of your heart and mind to make this decision.
Right.
All right. But Cassandra, we thank you so much for your call.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Love you guys. Thank you.
We love you too. God
thank
bless.
You.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a brief pause for the cause, but we will return with the final segment of today's program. But you still have plenty of time to call in with your questions. It's an open forum today. Ask whatever question you may have about keeping your marriage together. 215-263-1039-877-995-7644. Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to the final segment of today's program. Again, the number to call in to ask your question about relationships, it is an open forum today. 215-263-1039-877-995-7644. Let's go to Mrs. Jones calling in on line 2. Mrs. Jones, good morning. You're live on the air. Please make sure your radio is all the way off in the background. Thanks.
All righty. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Jones.
All righty. I have more so it is a question. I'm not married. However, I am in a relationship a year and a half, and we are Christians. And we do talk about marriage. We do plan being married. My question is more so, I've been listening all morning, and you guys pretty much brought up the scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:14, which is, don't be yoked with, unbelievers. And we both do believe, but I think I'm more, and I don't know if this means to say, but I think I'm more spiritual than him. As far as, I don't know, it's just, I just think that I am, but I also believe that now, say when we do get married, is that going to play a negative effect on the marriage?
Okay. Great question.
Yeah, that's pretty much the question.
Well, Ms. Jones, that's a great question, actually.
Okay.
First of all, there will always be one that is more spiritual.
Okay.
Now, it's better if the man is more spiritual because he can lead the wife.
Right.
However, it's actually very common. And you, your job now would be to make him better. How could you encourage him to be more spiritual instead of making him feel inferior?
Okay.
And I've seen, both effects. From where I sit, I've counseled couples where the wife is kind of like bitter and even kind of bringing it against the husband because he's not stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a way to inspire with respect. And
right.
I tell you, sometimes, I'm more spiritual than my wife, and there are times my wife is more spiritual than I am. And that's normal.
Okay.
And so what I appreciate, though, is when I'm not doing well spiritually or she sees things in a very spiritual way, that she inspires me instead of trying to just criticize me. And the way my wife has done it is, there are times where she knows I'm going through something and I might not even know. And she'll say something like, I just love when you wrestle with God and you go out there, you pray, and you come back resolved. And I'm like, I haven't done that. I'm not there. Like, I'll pray, but I'm not praying to get resolved. I'm not really fighting the way I need to fight. And that has inspired me. And so when I've done it and she's noticed it, she's like, that's the man I know. That's who I marry. And it inspires me to be better. And so that's the main challenge you will have. And you also want to be careful that you don't become self-righteous. That you think,
okay,
you're better. Now, look, you might be right and you might be honest, but I'm sure not all the time in every situation are you going to be more spiritual. Now, that's not to say that if he's unspiritual, and what I mean by that is if he's not trying to live up to the biblical standards, then that's another story. But if he's just not like on the same level where you are, like you just feel like you have a deeper passion, more commitment, and he's just not there, just perhaps just inspire him during this time.
Okay, yeah, because I was just worried, I want to make sure all the corners are right before I say I do, because I know that's someone I'll be with till the day I die. So I want to make sure that, all right, just certain things. But now I do understand, it's common, and not only is it common, but I can help him by being respectful instead of, being self-righteous. So, no, that definitely did help me out a lot. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you. God bless.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. All right. Don't forget, the phone number is 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644. Let's go to Miss Busy B calling in on line 5. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Okay, my
question
is, my husband and I, we go to two different churches, and before I met my husband, I was a part of my church for 8 years, and my husband didn't have a church home, and he was actually a member of the same church as me, but then a situation arose where he had the opportunity to be the pianist for another church.
Okay.
So he became the pianist for the other church, and I continue to be at my church, and I'm a dancer at my church. So I would go back and forth, and it worked out. But now we have a baby, and, when I was pregnant, I felt that I needed to be with my husband at his church. So I left my church and joined his church, and I was there for the duration of the pregnancy, but I wasn't happy. But I was doing what I thought was the right thing to do. And my husband would, you know, I would just see his face light up because his family is inside the church with him. And I appreciated that, and I loved that. But in the process, I was becoming spiritually bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I tried as hard as I possibly could to remain in there. But I had to go. I couldn't take it anymore. I felt that I shouldn't have to be in a place where I'm tolerated when I can go where I'm appreciated and needed. So I decided, I mean, it took a lot of courage for me to go back to my church after I left. And, you know, so there, I just actually just returned in February. So I'm back now, and I just started back dancing. And I'm trying to get myself back to the place of where I was before I left my church.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it difficult because it seems like every time I try to get to my church, I'm attacked in every type of way where, you know, when it comes to the baby, like, I don't have a problem taking my baby with me. She's only 8 months old, but it is a mm-hmm. bit much for me to have to take her and then have to minister. And I have a 15-year-old daughter.
Okay. Okay, well, so, let me just stop you there for a second because
yes,
I want to be able to
please.
Address. No, absolutely. You know what? It blows my mind how common this is.
I
can't tell you how many workshops I've conducted where that question comes up and people talk about this. And, you know, there is not an easy, quick answer because, you know, we're talking about different organizations when you talk about the actual church. Now, biblically, the Bible says there's one church, right? And we know that it's Christ, it's the church. But we have today, I mean, thousands of different options. Different denominations. You know, in the first century, when you looked for the church, there was one church. Wherever city you were in, whether you were in Corinth or in Ephesus or whatever, you say, let me find the church, and you would find the church. Today, there are churches on the same street, across the street, the next corner. You know, it's like, where do you go? What denomination? What do you do? And so I think, number one, you pray. And number two, you make sure that the Bible is the standard. And so what I tell people, more importantly than emotions or feeling better, is, does the church line up with the scriptures? Acts chapter 2 shows us the blueprint, what I call the blueprint, for the church, where the believers had everything in common. It's the church that was established on the day of Pentecost, and you see the qualities. But with that said, that doesn't mean that you and your husband are going to see eye to eye on this, and obviously you don't. But Proverbs 4, this is a scripture I would use to make decisions like this. Proverbs 4 says in verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So if you were going to a place where it's affecting your relationship with God, when you use the word bankrupt, like, it's just affecting you spiritually, and you might lose your faith, you might not be connected with God, and you're going there just because you think it's the right thing to do, then my answer would be, go where you know you need to be. But don't just do it and say, okay, that's all I'm doing. That you and your husband need to pray about this together, that he needs to understand your spiritual needs above anything else. And I understand that maybe it's a financial situation or whatever, because he's a musician, but that God will open a door so that you both can get what you need spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And it's not something you can do on your own. You will need your husband's support, because what you're feeling now is, okay, now you're trying to get your spiritual needs met, but it's affecting you emotionally and physically. And so it's still not a solution. So maybe now you're getting a little stronger spiritually, but this can't stay like this. And you and your husband are going to have to pray. And I even encourage you, if you get some medical advice, to fast about this. Say, you know what? We need God to make this clear. We need God's hand to move in this situation. The answer might be not your church, not his church, but the church that God directs you to. Okay.
Oh, my God.
But if you got to be open to God's will, not yours.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Busy B. We appreciate your call.
Thank you. You guys are wonderful.
All right. You too.
Thank you much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Will calling in on line 4. Will, good morning. You're live on the air. Hey,
hello?
Will, are you there?
Hello. How you doing?
Good.
We're doing good. We just want to ask you if you can please turn off your radio.
Yes, it's off.
All right, good. And if you're driving, if you can close the windows, make sure, and if necessary, please pull over, because we get a lot of background noise. Our equipment picks up everything.
But if I can post the question and hang about that, I mean, I would really, really be I can get my answer, I hope.
Okay, go for it.
My question would be, I'm married over 20 years. We've been in the same church. And God had called me into the ministry, and I accepted my calling. And since then, my wife has felt that what the belief that we were in, she didn't want to do anymore. She felt that it was, I'm an apostolic believer, and she felt that she didn't want to do that anymore because it wasn't necessary to do certain things. How do I deal with that with my, she has now since gone to another church. How do I deal with that, you know, just trying to get this ministry started, answering my calling, and dealing with the family being separate for the very first time? We've been married over 20 years.
Okay. Well, Will, great, great question. You almost sound like on the other side of the question that we just had. And
right. That's why I was listening to her and trying to hold on at the same time. So it sounds almost similar, but I guess my question would be like, what should I do? I know you know you're not supposed to, you know, hold the ministry back for anybody, but like how do I deal with that?
Well, you know what? I want to talk for a moment. I'm going to take off my, I guess, my radio personality hat and just talk about an actual minister who has received that calling.
Okay.
A lot of us, we talk about that calling, but biblically, the clearest calling we have is to present our wives radiant without stain, wrinkle, or blemish, to love our wives the way that Christ loves our church, meaning that no matter what ministry it is, it cannot take the place of your wife first. And so, and this goes for our children as well. We have certain responsibilities that those are the callings we have from God first directly. And so all I want to say to you, Will, is the calling you might have might not be necessarily clear that it's where you are that you should be doing it. Because if it's not helping your family to be close, if it's not helping you and your wife, and you'll lose your wife in the process, that is very dangerous and that's scary. God is not going to look to you and say, oh, Will, you did a great job in that ministry, but you let your marriage fall apart. So you need to make sure you yes, you care about your ministry, but you got to show your wife that she is more important. I don't know why she feels that way. I think you need to figure that out and what exactly she needs for you to do. You there, Will?
With pretty much, that's why, I mean, some things I didn't want to say on the air because I know, I didn't want it to be out like that. You understand what I'm saying?
I got you.
But she's having a problem with my dad is the pastor. Her, my mom, my sister, they are crashing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an issue with me, you know. Not that I'm saying, okay, you don't like my mom, I'm leaving you. No. That's never an option.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that, you know, we grew up in that church so long, and, you know, my dad's the pastor, and, you know, we've been married over 20 years. We've been going to the same church over 26, 27 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, we grew up there. And so she decided that, you know, she don't have to stand there and take, you know, like the young lady said before, not being appreciated where she can go somewhere else. Because
mm-hmm.
God has given her a gift. I mean, the girls are saying like a Mark and Bold, and that's her ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And together, you know, I was an organist first before mm-hmm. God called me to the ministry. And God just put us together. I know he did. And it's not that we think we're losing each other. I just want a clarification of what should I do. Should I go and go to a neutral corner, you know, not somewhere, not at my church, not at where she's going. We can go somewhere else and start over to keep us together. I just want to do the right thing. I wanted an answer from outside because my dad's the pastor. I know I can go to him, but I don't want it to be a mixture of family and spiritual, you know.
But it is a mixture of family.
Exactly.
And so you don't want it to be. Look, all I can say to you is what I would do.
Okay.
I would make sure that my marriage is a priority. And
okay.
So if that's what that takes, and it means, look, I love my mom, my dad, everyone, but right now we got to work on our relationship, that because that is your number one God-given calling, to work on that.
Okay.
And so whatever she feels, now that doesn't mean that has to be permanent. Who knows?
Right.
God might work and bring you back or whatever. But at this point, it needs to be like, look, mom, dad, I love you. Anything I could do to help outside of this. But right now, I got to work on my relationship. And like you said, it might be a neutral corner. That's what it might take. And asking God to make that clear for you. But that's what I would do. Honestly, I would work on my relationship because you don't want it to be where the devil uses that and makes your wife feel like you're putting your family, your family's church or anything before her and her needs.
And, you know, and the answer you give me is actually what I had in mind. I guess I just needed the clarification of that, you know, because I knew I just couldn't walk away from my wife. I knew that God had something for us, and and he gonna be able to, once family gone, we still gonna be together, you know. So,
absolutely. Amen. Well, we definitely appreciate your call.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, God bless you. Have a good one, Will.
Take care.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Elder Blevins. Good morning. You are live on the air. Elders, the elders on line three. Elder Blevins on line three. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes. How are you doing?
Good.
No, we're doing
how
very well. What is your question for us today?
Doing great. We just want to, first of all, comment from New Bethel Church and here in the city of Charlotte to say what an outstanding job that you are doing in terms of providing biblical insight when marriage is concerned. So we just want to tip our hats to the wonderful job that you're doing.
All right, buddy.
And in response to what you guys are doing, you know, you ignited a flame in us at New Bethel Church here in Charlotte. And what we do now is we provide marriage enrichment sessions for the entire Charlotte metro community. And our next one is actually May the 25th at 6:30. And so what we do is we just provide a forum for all married couples, even engaged couples, to come out to be able to get biblical insight on how to improve the quality of their marriage as it relates to what the Word of God has decreed for our lives. So I just want to call again our pastor, Tommy Murphy, and I just want to, again, say how wonderful of a job that you have done, and we're godly proud of people like yourselves out giving the Word of God as our biblical foundation for marriage. And again, we want to just highlight to the community here in the city of Charlotte and the surrounding areas that on May 25th, there's no charge. They just come out and enjoy the Lord and gain insight where marriage is concerned from the Bible.
All right. Well, we thank you so much, Elder Blevins. And, you know, keep praying for us. And we hope your event goes really well. And I believe that Charlotte is an amazing place. I was there a few months ago and I had an amazing time. And I know that people are hurting and they're looking, just like in every city. But there was just a certain openness that people had in that Charlotte area. It was very
encouraging
to be there. So thank you so much. Thank you. We appreciate your call.
All right. Thanks again.
Be blessed.
Take care.
All right.
Let's go to line two, Bernadette. Bernadette, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, thanks for joining us. What's your question?
I have a question. My question is, I came from a lifestyle of, you know, hanging out in the clubs and dating different men and stuff like that, right? However, I've been delivered from that.
Okay.
Now, I've been in a past couple of years, I've been dating men that the church, and I had some bad experiences. And now, you know, I'm dating someone. I'm not, you know, I'm just talking to this gentleman, and so he's in the church, and I'm like, well, how? So my in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, this is the same guy, but a different face. How do I
perceive
that relationship that I even had in those
steps? Okay, I don't know if I'm totally clear on your question. We're having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. I don't know if it's because of where you are.
I'm on a speakerphone.
Okay, are you driving?
Can you hear me now?
It's a little better. It's still kind of rough. But what I heard, let me just repeat this, is that you were delivered from a lifestyle, obviously, you know, living in the world, going on clubs, and then since then, you've been dating men in the church.
Yes.
And you're trying to find the right man, or you're in a relationship now. That's the part I'm not clear about.
Well, I've had my experiences dating with men in the church, and it seemed like they were the same guy, but a different face and the same attitudes and the same behaviors. So now I'm just talking to someone right now. How do I... And he's really, really, you know, we're just talking, and we get to know one another. How do I so not get that thought in my mind, like, okay, this guy is in the church, and, you know, how do I say, okay, how do I give this person a chance without having those exceptions in the back of my mind, say, okay, this is the same guy. But
I got you. Okay. Well, first of all, Bernadette, I think just because a man is in church doesn't make him a Christian, doesn't make him godly. And so you always have to have wisdom and discernment, and you want to guard your heart above all things. So meaning that don't just give your heart over or trust someone, let them prove themselves. And to me, the best way to do that is through godly people. You know, if like, what are people saying about him? You know, people that know him, people that love you, you know, if you met him in the church, you know, what is his reputation in the church? And go to people that you know they're going to tell you the truth, that they care. And so after someone said, oh, no, he's great, he's spiritual, I wouldn't take that just, you know, to the bank, but I would say, well, maybe this is someone I can get to know. And as you get to know them, you know, take your time. Don't rush into it. Let God make it clear if this is, first of all, a godly man, and secondly, if he is the one for you, because there will be signs. If this man is trying to sleep with you, not a godly man. If this man is trying to change you into someone who you're not, not a godly man. He should be someone who appreciates you for who you are, whether you have a rough past or anything, but he loves you. He'll appreciate you. But most importantly, he loves Jesus.
Yeah, and I've had my experience. You know, they say that godly man, however you go on a date, you put unreal expectations on me, thinking that I'm going to, you know, sleep with you like you said. So I pulled the grace on, and I'm glad that God gave me the discernment to pull away and say, okay, this is not for you. I'm learning how to, you know, stand on my own and be the person of God that he has ordained me already to be. So I'm grateful, you know, that I'm able to just say, okay, you know, you're not the one, you know, and keep it moving. But, you know, I have someone who's really, really interested, and I'm like, okay, what do I do now? Because, you know, I felt, like you said, I had my guard up, and I continue to have my guard up, but I don't want my guard to be up like, okay, you're the same person.
Okay, so, and the final, just a little bit of advice that I'll give you, and this is great for singles when you're starting to get to know someone. Find some other sisters in your church, someone spiritual, and double date or triple date. Like, you know, it's okay. It takes the pressure off. You get to know someone in a different light. And, I mean, it to me, it's just a lot healthier, especially early on in the relationship. So I want to thank you so much, Bernadette. We appreciate your call.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Let's go to line 4 and speak with Lisa. Lisa, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
If you could do us a big favor, Lisa, if your radio can be completely off, we're getting a little bit of feedback.
Okay.
All right, good. Well, you called into Marriage Beyond the Vows, and this is Marcos Mercado, and Tiffany is here with me, and we're answering questions, or specifically I'm answering questions. Tiffany has a bunch of questions herself, but we're having a great time here just going to the scriptures and answering your questions. So, Lisa, what is your question for us?
Okay, my question is, what do you do when you have a family-oriented ministry and a bishop with the title of a bishop won't counsel you or your spouse because she says she won't counsel flesh? And when you see, because God has given you discernment to see that this person is not for your marriage and she's saying that God will forgive the spouse for leaving you for a divorce, and she also gives the spouse confirmation, allegedly from God, that God told him to leave his family.
Okay. You know, we actually had a caller similar to that earlier on where they were asking that their minister or pastor said, you need to leave this man. And I think that we got to be very careful when people abuse their authority, because the Bible is the ultimate authority. You cannot go against the word of God. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, it talks about love, but it also talks about, you know, what's perfect and what's imperfect. And we know God's word is perfect. We are imperfect. And so it doesn't matter if it's myself, anybody else. I mean, you can have, you know, ministry experience for forever, or you're anointed or whatever it is, but you cannot go against the scriptures and the word of God. And so my first thing would be, if you're trying to go to someone to counsel you, but you don't feel like they're biblically sound, then why would you want to go to them?
Okay, she said God gave her the authority to separate us.
But no one has that. The Bible says let no man separate.
She said God gave her the authority to separate us. We're actually going through a divorce right now.
Okay, but do you understand that God doesn't give that authority to anyone? That is not biblical. That just does not exist. That's like me saying that God gave me the authority to go kill someone. I mean, I don't care what I say. It still doesn't give me the authority.
Right.
And so right now you're going through a divorce, but how do you know that God doesn't want you to work this out and figure it out based on the word? Because God takes marriage very seriously.
My husband told me that God told him to leave me.
Okay. Now, based on what?
Okay.
early on in the marriage, before we actually got saved, he committed adultery. So okay. He started accusing me of committing adultery.
Okay.
But after the adultery was committed, we reconciled. We rededicated our lives to Christ, and we lived accordingly, trying to live biblically. After we reconciled, and we rededicated our lives, and became a part of the ministry, which he's still at the ministry. I left.
Okay, but based on what? How can God tell him to do something that goes against his word? Why would God ever do it? God doesn't contradict himself.
Exactly.
And so if the word says one thing and someone says something else, I mean, which one do you trust?
I trust the word of God. God told me when I wanted to go and file for a divorce, God told me on 3 different times to stand still. The last time, because I guess God wanted me to know that he was serious, he told me to stand still. If I move, I will not see the salvation of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband filed the papers, and I'm just standing still. I haven't signed. I haven't done anything because obedience is better than any sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that, sometimes we let our emotions get in the way. And I'm not saying that God can't speak to us, but let me tell you, God would never speak to us against his word. Impossible. He just won't do it because
okay.
The word is perfect. I mean, he just won't contradict himself.
So what do you like? So I know what I need to do. I need to just basically stand still and just let God work this out. But, and I also know that I need to pray for my husband, because of the stronghold, and the soul ties that is on him,
mm-hmm.
And I just want to say this, as a married female, marriage is work. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But when you have people that has the authority and they're misleading God's people, because God trusts them to, feed his people, and give them the word of God. A lot of leaders, and I mean this in no disrespectful way, you have a lot of leaders that's in these ministries that's disregarding the fact that God is love, and they're chastising these, the saints mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. And God's word will convict us. God's word, God don't need nobody to do his job. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? And these leaders that get into these personal family matters, and family members for that matter too, they better remember that God said every tongue that rises up against people shall be condemned. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I just leave with this passage here, James 3, that it says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that those who teach will be judged more strictly. And then, the whole James 3 there talks about, just really having that wisdom and how we are the ones that we have to give an account. So you're right. I think you have a lot to share there. Lisa, we thank you for bringing that to our attention. But first of all, let me just say for you and for everybody else, the word must be the standard, not a person.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you.
God bless. Amen. You have a blessed day.
All right. You too.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I think we might have time for one caller if it's quick. No. Yes. One caller. Okay. So let Kim be Kim on line 5. Be our last caller for the day. Kim, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm good. I had a comment about 2 previous callers. The first one was the caller that called in, and she was having difficulties separating from that relationship that she had. I wanted to comment to her and to let her know that first of all, she needs to go into prayer. And she needs to start fasting and asking God whether or not that relationship is for her. I had went through a relationship, in a long-term relationship, and had to step back and mm-hmm. start fasting, Mary, and whether or not it was meant for me to be in this particular relationship.
Okay. And you know what? It's unfortunate. I know you wanted to respond to both, but to 2 situations, but we only had time for you
time
to respond
for one.
To one.
Okay. Well, and with that being said, I stopped having physical and sexual relations with this person and started praying and fasting and just asking God. And since then, things have really, really turned around in the relationship for me and also for him. He's growing more spiritually, and I find it we're connecting more, that the physical is not is no longer involved. So I just wanted to encourage her that if she cuts off the physical and her herself starts fasting and praying and asking God if that's the right relationship for her, things will be easier for her on a day-to-day basis.
Amen. So, Kim, you're saying that once you obey God, he makes it clear?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Once she obeys, once she starts fasting, reading, and surrounding herself by people of like-minded, and that's going to encourage her to do the right things and remove certain things from their atmosphere when they're together. And it'll become so much clearer for her whether or not that is the right man for her in her life.
Amen. Well, we thank you so much, Kim, and be blessed. We appreciate your testimony and how you needed to get close to God and do it God's way, repent of the disobedience, and God made it clear for you. And amen for that. You know, what we've been doing lately, we've been having some nuggets of wisdom. I have a really quick one I want to leave you with. This is from a book published by the Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation. And this one's titled, Help My Spouse Committed Adultery. And it just simply says this. It says, the pain of betrayal is like touching a hot stove. Your instinct is to move away fast. You may be in so much pain right now that you can't imagine recovering and being able to trust your spouse again. You may feel that the quickest way through the pain is to end your marriage right now. Or you may feel that the seductive pull of revenge, you may want your spouse to get a dose of what his or her own medicine is. You want your spouse to be exposed publicly and to experience painful consequences. However, slow down. And the advice is, don't make an emotional decision on the heat of the moment. Make sure you pray. Make sure you allow God to make it clear that you get some wise counsel. And so please do that. We thank you so much. So many of you who called in, many of you who tried, or even who were on Facebook just trying to connect and asking the right questions. Tune in next week on Marriage Beyond the Vows as we talk about beyond the bedroom. That will be a topic for next week.
All right. Can't wait for it. Much love going out to Bron, our producer in Charlotte, to Sam, our assistant in studio, and of course to our on-site producer here in Philadelphia, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.